Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brethren, I think the Lord is speaking a definite word to us tonight. And I just pray that all the words that God would speak to us would be in us a living thing, giving us more and more the life of God, bringing us closer and closer to that great point. Paul called it the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. It is very important at this time that we, the people of God, should begin to move upward. Because God said when we see certain things begin to happen, we should begin to move up into the mountains. And I want to say to you, brethren, it's time for us to begin to move up into the mountains if we haven't begun. Hallelujah. And we need to, in order to move up, we need to just kind of forget everything else beside the goal which is before us. The job, the natural work, the whatever it is on earth is only a means to an end. Hallelujah. I always say, my work that I'm doing, I'm only moonlighting. My main job is going on in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation. The Lord, the Spirit is directing me to a very peculiar passage. I know that He will bring the message forth out of this. I want you to look with me. One word stands out before me is the word Neocolitan. And it's in chapter 2 of Revelation. And it's also in another chapter here, I think chapter 3. The verse I cannot find. 6. Chapter 3, 6. 2, 6. Alright. Chapter 2, 6. Right. That's the first reference. And 15. The same chapter. The same. Okay. Let's see now. This message is the first message, right? To the church at Ephesus. And he was saying to this church, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. Thou hast tried them, say they are apostles, and are not, hast found them liars. Amen. And some of us here have been in that position, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. I don't know if you understand what that means. The candlestick is the church. The candlestick is the church. Seven candlesticks, seven churches. God move you out. You are moved out of the church. Hallelujah. This is what God's saying. God will take you out of his church, though you are good, though you have done great things. But unless thou repent, I'll move you out if you have lost your first love. And then I think that the Spirit is going to explain the reason why they lost the first love. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Neocolitan. Oh, this was a commendation to this church. But in the 15th verse, to that church, it was a reproof, a commendation that thou hatest the deeds of the Neocolitans, which I also hate. Praise God. What is it? Let's read the other one. Down here we say now, the next message is the church of Smyrna. You know, and there are some good points about this church. And it came right down to the 15th verse. this church, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. That means the prophet, the one who should be leading them into righteousness, was casting a stumbling block because of greed to commit fornication, sacrifice unto idols, commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And I tell you, there is a third reference to that word. Isn't there? Nevertheless, let us consider what God is saying to us tonight. The word Neocolitans is another word for clergy. A clergy class, the hierarchy in the church, who feels themselves above the people. And you say, but we don't have that. But somewhere along the line, in our heart, we seem to desire, we feel that we'd get on better if we had a big boss up here. Somebody who took all the problems, somebody who you could run to, who would do all the leading and the guidance, and we would just sit back and be members. And I don't even know that you have that. But I cannot do anything but speak the thing that the Lord is speaking to me. Amen. So it is saying, the word is saying here, that the harlot system in the church is today being separated from the true church. We were allowed to mix together for a certain time. But I'm saying that God has pronounced judgment upon the church system. And the age of the church is at its end. And anybody who wants to keep church now is in trouble. Because it's pretty late for you to start doing things like that. Now, somebody doesn't understand. Let me go back to my little old drawing. You know, I always draw this. And when I see a good board, I love to mark it. Okay. Here we are again. Same old drawing. But new message. What God is doing is sending a sword right between these two. The outer court and the holy place. The outer court is being separated from the holy place by the sword of God. If you don't believe it, you remain in the outer court. Here is the outer court with its two works. And this work is intended to push you right through here. Once this work is completed, the Holy Ghost is going to push you into the holy place. But if the work is not completed, you will remain in that self realm and still keep church. Out here we find death. And because death is out there, the religious spirits, there's a lot of ministering out there. I don't know if you understand me. Oh God, help us to understand. I can minister to you and minister words of God to you with a wrong intention and a desire that is not of God, and therefore I come under direction and leading of a religious spirit. Remember now, the spirits that fell from heaven were not what we would call atheists. Can you understand? No fallen angel is an atheist. Can you understand that? A fallen angel is not an atheist. He knows God personally. Therefore, he couldn't say there is no God. If he says there is no God, he's only lying to you. But he knows for sure that there is God. Because he hates God.
The Bible says he walked and trembled. Believe and trembles. Oh, yes. He believes God and trembles at the belief. Hallelujah. So here we are looking at a situation at this time when outside in the outer court, this is the place of the Neapolitans, where the clergy reigns. God is saying to these people, I am lifting you up above a clergy class. In other words, the word of God is saying that the Bible must come forth in living letters in the congregation. If you don't rise up in the ministry of God, then you are resisting the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost came to lead you into all truth and to teach you all things. And God has sent the Spirit in the body to teach you. Now, if you are under the wrong ministry, there's no way you're going to be the first fruits company. Let me go over it very slowly. An outer court ministry cannot take you into the first fruits. Because an outer court ministry is basically involved in self and in sin. The sin that you'll find in the holy place is mostly sin of omission. The sin that is here present before us today, it's supposed to be just sin of omission. That means you omit to do what you should have done. The sin of commission should not be named amongst us. That you deliberately go and commit sin, knowing it is wrong, and yet you do it. Are you there? God says that he who knoweth to do good and doeth it not will be beaten by many stripes. So that the people of our church realm, the people who speak in tongues, the people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, who believe in the workings of the Spirit, who walk according to the things of God, they will receive greater spanking. Hallelujah. Praise God. Greater spanking than those who don't know better, those in the outer court. But today, I'm talking about 1983, I'm talking about September 1983. I'm saying that we have come very, very close to the time when the church is going to split right in two. And the outer court will be out there, and those who are heading on for the Holy of Holies will be inside the holy place, jostling to get to the veil, because trouble will be in the holy place. I'm not giving you any comfort, eh? I'm telling you to run into the holy place, and then I'm telling you trouble. You see, because this is the bringing of everything down to its final conclusion. You know, I was making fun yesterday with somebody, and I said, well, what about the Bible said that the Christian is sin, his sin is judged right here. You know, blessed are those who get their sins judged here. Because if you wait for the other judgment, you're going to be in the wrong place. So, okay, what about if you were God? You know, just imagine you are God. And here you have to judge Sandy. You have to judge Mavis. You have to judge brother over there. You have to judge sister over here. And, you know, this thing been going on for 2,000 years. But all of a sudden you say, well, things must come to an end. Now somebody Just tell me what would happen if God had to bring the world to a final ending point next week. What would happen this week? Huh? You tell me what would happen. We'd all drop into a sudden judgment. Huh? Don't you see what we're talking about? God said judgment will begin at the house of God. Let me read it for you, because some of us do not really understand what is happening. Turn around to Ezekiel 9. And in verse 6, an order is given of God to six men with weapons of war. Now remember, we're talking about men and we're talking about war. And this is the order they got. Verse 6. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they begin at the ancient name which were before the house. Is that plain enough? That God's judgment is going to begin with the Christians, and the problems we see ahead of us right now is the judgment that is coming down on us, because when it begins at us, it's going to certainly end out there. And the judgment that we see is, first of all, that the church is going to be split and divided down the middle, and very few of us will be left on one side who really make up our minds to go all the way with God. There is no place in the first fruit company for those who are going to deny one another. There's no place amongst us for those who lack love and hate one another. There's only place for those who make up their mind that we will die for the least one of the brethren. If so be it, if God is leading us this way. God is bringing the church into a point of crisis. Believe you me, into a point of crisis. The church has been deaf and slightly dumb. Oh yes, I stood in here and I hear God speaking among you, and the echo is as loud as ever. And most of you won't say one word. Oh yes, most of you won't say one word. Believe you me, I hear many words. And sometimes when I hear it, somebody bring the same word out. The Lord said, this is the day. This is the day. And I heard somebody say, just repeat it immediately. Repeat the word, this is the day. You know, but and here and there get a word and somebody repeat. But the people, you brethren, you are not as alive as you ought to be. Amen. You still sit down and believe that somebody must preach to you. Amen. You still don't get the message that God is preaching in you. And that the Spirit of God in you is the ministry which is confirmed by the person who stands here and ministers to you. That the same Holy Ghost that moves through me moves through you. Amen. And that you must respond to the Spirit of God moving through you. Turn to Ephesians 4 and let's examine what it says. Somebody is misinterpreting the scripture. The Lord, speaking to the apostles as to what their duty is in the church, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors or shepherds and teachers. I want you to read that back for me. Let me see, is there not a translation here? Is there not a translation? This is King James. Anybody has anything else? Amplified? Please read that verse for me in the Amplified, and let us hear what you say. What's that?
I don't have Amplified. What?
New American Standard. Let us hear New American Standard.
And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of...
Oh, wait, just what we want. Does it sound right to you? And he gave some as pastors. And he gave some pastors. He gave some apostles. What's it saying?
Ministry. He gave them the ministry of.
Well, let me show you a new understanding that you didn't see. God gave some of us apostles, the church. God sent the apostles to you. God gave some people apostles and some prophets and some... Don't you understand he's talking about the ministries that he sent to you? Mm-hmm. To minister to you. Now, why did apostles come to Skylar? To Seward, to wherever we're from. Why did apostles come there? Why did he give you apostles? To perfect you. Now, in other words, if God didn't see that you could be perfected, God would not have sent apostles to you. God would not have sent teachers to you. God would not send shepherds to you. But he gave some these ministries for their perfection, that they should be perfected. Are you there with me? Now, for the perfecting of the saints, why should the saints be perfected? For the work of the ministry. The work of servantship, serving one another. See, I'm sorry that the Bible is so changed up that when I say ministry to you, it doesn't carry the right meaning. When Jesus said it, it meant servant. When it's written here, it means the minister, the high one with a collar. So the moment I say you have a ministry, oh, I have a high calling. It's a high calling, but it is maybe to wash somebody's feet. Maybe that's your ministry. In other words, the word ministry has lost its meaning, and we must be very careful how we use it. We need to understand that when the Bible said ministry, talking about a servant. And whatever is your department of service, that's what God called you for. That doesn't mean God can't change it, but God is calling you for servantship. Most people don't understand that they're called to serve. If you get a word from God, sister, it's not your word. Do you think God gave you because of you? He gave you because of us. And when you don't give the word, you rob us. And if you keep robbing, you become a thief. Nobody's happy about that. Nobody smiles. Nobody even says amen. But if you keep robbing, you become a thief before God. You steal the word of God. You don't let it loose. You don't give it out. Therefore, you become stopped up. If a faucet won't let out the water, then what happened to it? It's no good. We have to begin to consider one another. That if you have a word from the Lord, it is somebody's word. Lest, oh God, I fail you, let me give it out. I'd rather look like an idiot giving it out than look very good and not giving it. You see what God is saying? God is speaking to us a word tonight. Don't go about trying to be a part of the clergy, a minister, high-class preacher. Don't go about trying to be that, because that is the wrong attitude, and it comes from a demon spirit called a religious spirit. Try to be a servant to God's people. Try very much to serve and to do the will of God in serving one another. Think of one another. Does anybody want this? You know, before I throw it away, does someone want it? Maybe someone would want it. And as you begin to think of one another, God will begin to use you.
But we have been taught to think very selfish. God says that the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
In other words, God is saying, I want a living body. I want a living body. Now, let's go back to the thought about the Nicolaitans. If we follow Rome and follow the teachings of Rome, we will notice that this class thing came in when Rome began to set up bishops and popes and people like that. And when we talk about a ministry, what does it sound like to you? A ministry is an endowment of God. If you say you're a minister, you're saying, I'm a servant of God. You're a minister, you're a servant of God. So, because the word is so disfigured, when we talk about a ministry, therefore, we are talking about an endowment God puts the ministry in the church. Now, because you are an elder, or because you are more matured spiritually than the others, you will be able to minister to them more than they would be able to minister. You follow what I mean? The more matured ones will be able to handle the ministry which God has given them, and we should encourage everybody to come forth with their ministry, because a dead body is not the body of Christ. A living body who can hear God is the body of Christ. And let me tell you, brethren, God is not going to speak to any one man about his body. The story is that one of the reasons why we're not progressing in the spirit as we are to progress is because we're depending on certain people to tell us what to do. And though we break away from Rome, though we break away from the church order out there, so much of it is yet in us that we need to continue to repent every day more and more. Lord God, take Babylon out of me. When you talk about the church system, you're talking about something that forces me to, if I'm not in view and be like them, I'm still walking with a lisp towards them. I would like to see the people of God get up and walk straight and walk in the Lord, because there is that in us. You want to prove it? Quarrels, dissensions amongst us. Hardly any two can get together and agree in the Lord. What that is? It's the same demon spirit that they have out there, that they can only get to, they can only work if you have a boss and he says, do this, do that. And one man govern the whole thing, and then they will work. I am saying Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and Jesus will not allow anybody to come between him and his church. And any other head is a disruption of the head flow of Jesus Christ. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying I must not obey my elders? I'm saying the opposite to that. I'm saying that you obey the voice of God in the congregation. You have an ear for God's voice. That you don't have a big boss up there, but you have Jesus up there. And Jesus is going to talk to this one, and talk to that one, and talk to that one. And Jesus is going to talk to the elders also, and they will help to guide you to Jesus. Come on now. That's the difference. You see, the elders and the leaders and the pastors of this world pull you on to themselves. I said, listen to us. You don't have to listen to God. The elders help you to hear God. If you come to the elders and you want that you to tell them, tell you this and tell them that and tell you what to do, they are going to say, let us pray and teach you to pray and to hear from God. It's like when I come in your midst, I feel the lacking of that spiritual energy, the lacking of contact with God. I don't know what you've been doing all day. But anybody who is in contact with God, when you come in the congregation, you flow, you have something to give. But there's a lacking in the midst. Amen. And even when we sing for half an hour, you don't get connected. Isn't there something wrong, brethren? You're like a well put together electrical system with the fuse out. The fuse is not there. There should be a connection to God. That when you come in and you raise your hands and you say, praise God, everybody should feel it. You're really praising God from your heart. But I am saying, brethren, that we still have, I could see, if you had a leader up here, said, all right, come on, brethren, let us stay and let us jump, and you'd get your attention for sure. You understand what I'm talking about? There is a lack, and I want you to put in back the fuse and get connected with God. For God said, them that worship him must, it's a law, you must worship in spirit and in truth. And if you're not in the spirit and you only come because everybody will be wondering why you didn't come, or you only come because you have nowhere else to go, or you only come because of habit that you should come, your duty, sense of duty, that kind of thing is not good enough. God is bringing forth a people that must be connected with God. And as I'm saying, we are coming on where we won't have any big leaders to lead us anymore. God's cutting off the church. The age of the church is over. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Let me explain a little bit of what I mean by the church. The church out here is the church which preaches the message of death to sin, a salvation message, basically. And this church preaches a message that can take you right in to Christ, which is baptism. Baptism. Now, when you were baptized in water, you made a covenant with Jesus that you're going to go the whole way with him. Now, how long ago that has been? Some maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, 20 years even, maybe. You made that covenant that you would go the whole way with Jesus. If you didn't make that covenant, I'm saying set down your name right now for baptism. Let's get you baptized. Because you need to know that baptism in water is a covenant with God that you will go with the Holy Ghost. So you're at the point where Eliezer met Rebecca and put on the jewel, the two big earrings onto her ears, anoint her ears, that she could hear. First of all, that's the first thing he did, put on the earrings onto her ears. Then he put on the bangles onto her hands. See? And that means our hands, our works, were bound. That's covenant. Bangles represent a covenant of gold around her hands. And then he put on a dress onto her. Righteousness cover her up. See? And then he gave her jewels of gold and silver for her feet. Jewels for everywhere. this is saying what the Holy Ghost is doing to the church, even before he started taking you on the journey back to Canaan land. You see? And so we see then this Holy Ghost, this Eliezer, giving us all these equipment so that we might be equipped and ready to go and meet Isaac. Now, we began to get the gifts here. Baptism, then, is that covenant you made with God that you will go the whole way with Him. Remember, Paul asked the brethren at Ephesus, he said, if you don't know who the Holy Ghost is, unto what were you baptized? Unto what were you baptized? You heard those words. So that means when you're baptized in water, you are baptized unto the Holy Ghost. If you were never baptized unto the Holy Ghost, turn back and go get baptized unto the Holy Ghost. If you even have the Holy Ghost. See, if you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and you were never baptized in water, you have to go get the baptism in water, get to understand what it is, get to know that it is a covenant with God, make your covenant with God, and then go on. Do you understand? Now, all right, where are you going? Okay, you are going to be baptized into a new body, not a church organization again, because those who are in church organizations are in the body of Christ. You cannot, you're going to have to lie to somebody. You're going to have to lie to the church organization, or you lie to the body of Christ. One or the other. You cannot hold both positions, one at the same time. Because the church organization says you are a member, and as a member you make a covenant to obey all their laws and their bylaws. Isn't that right? Now, how can you obey their laws and their bylaws when their laws and their bylaws were not made by Jesus Christ? So therefore, you can't join a lodge. You cannot be a member of a lodge and be a member of the body of Christ at the same. Because you have to make a covenant with your lodge brothers. And the covenant that you make with your lodge brothers is the same covenant that you make with the Christians when you take communion. Do you do that sort of thing? Do you make covenant with one another when you eat bread and drink wine together? Well, you need to do it. Do it a little more often. And let one another know you love them and you'll never let them down. You'll lay down your life for them and pledge them your life when you're giving them the communion bread and wine. Because communion is this way. And until it is complete this way, then it goes that way. If we don't complete the love between us and the communion between us, don't worry with the one with God. It's a lie. Am I quoting scriptures right? Quite. God said, if you don't love your brother whom you can see, how are you going to love God whom you can't see? The Bible is very simple, you know. How are you going to love? Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you, Lord. God, Lord, you are my Lord. You are my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And yet I have my knife in my sister's back. Impossible. Just impossible. Totally impossible. God is saying to us tonight that we need to understand the difference between the church system out there that we have in us. We need to get a purging. Purging. Believe me, we need to get a purging of the church that we were in. We need to go to God and repent of having been a Baptist. Terrible preaching, brother. Oh, it's horrible.
Some dear Baptist brother might feel bad with me. And I don't mean any harm to him at all. But all I'm saying, brethren, I need to repent that I was a Pentecostal. Yes. See, you need to repent to have been in a sect other than baptized to go on into Jesus. You see, this is the point that Jesus is a realm. The body of Christ is a dimension, a realm, a place of understanding where others are there, where you have a covenant. Praise God. Where you have a covenant with a set of people who own your life. You owe your life to them. You owe every strength, every power, every message, every talk that God gave you belongs to them. Don't you understand? That's what the body of Christ is. See, so then, you cannot belong to anything in the outer court. You cannot have an outer court intention. Want to be a big shot in God's business. Amen. You cannot have an ambition, amen, to be a great prophet, an apostle, nothing of the kind can be in the holy place. But to be a servant and to be a good one is all your desire before God. So then, Neocolitanism is a no-no in the holy place. Once you're in the body of Christ, you're in the body of Christ for keeps. Unto death do us part. Never even to part of death. You know, when you marry a brother or sister, you make a pledge to them and you say, till death do us part. Did it ever occur to you that there are some things beyond death that never fail? Amen. And when you make a baptismal covenant before God, it's not till death do us part. But at death, you enter into life. So there's no parting. Bless God, he said, and this day I will make with you an everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. So when you make a baptismal covenant with Jesus Christ, it is an everlasting covenant to go in through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, obey the Holy Ghost, go in through into the body of Christ until Christ be formed in you. You in Christ, then Christ. Sorry. Christ in you first, then you in Christ. So when you enter here, you just barely enter into Christ. But Christ in you from out here, where you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you see, Christ came into the only part of you he could come into. And that's your spirit. He couldn't get into your soul right away. So he came into your spirit. And immediately begin to work to be formed in your soul. And some people are quicker than others. And I'm saying, when Christ is formed in you, you express Christ. You don't just sit down and hold down everything and say, well, they must preach and I keep quiet. No. Whatever passes through you, you begin to express Christ. You're not afraid what they're going to say about you. Christ in you. That's your hope of glory. Don't you hear that? Say it again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I thought Christ was in me was everything. I've got it all. Christ in me is only my hope. And Bible says hope is not hope if you have it. It's when you don't have it, you hope for it.
So when Christ is in you, you haven't hit glory yet. Until you get into Christ.
What's the difference? Simple. Christ in you, brother, you're the boss. If Christ is in you, you are still the boss.
Praise God. The scripture says, the spirit of the prophet is what? Subject to who? The prophet. And what is the spirit of the prophet? And is God's spirit? Yes. Revelation tells us the spirit of, come help me quote that one. The spirit of Christ, yeah? And the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of Christ. Are we there? Are we understanding? Are we getting it? The spirit of prophecy is the spirit of Christ. And if the spirit of prophet, this prophet, is subject to the prophet, we're talking about the spirit of Christ in you, is subject to you. Your sense is not taken away when Christ comes into you. The ability to sin is not taken away. You can do your thing if you want to. Amen. But not when you are in Christ. Little song says, I'm not my own. I'm His. You get to a place in God where you cannot do what you would like to do. You cannot do your thing anymore. And I'm not talking about bad things now. I'm talking about good things. You have good intentions. Your heart is clean and pure. Yet you can't do it unless the Spirit of God gives you the unction. And when God moves you, nobody's going to stop you. That's why some people say, oh, he's stubborn. He's stubborn. Praise God. This thing is supposed to fly. It isn't. Praise God. Yes. They say he's stubborn. Because they can't rule him. But if Jesus Christ is ruling you, how can somebody rule you? You're going to have to go by the Lord. See? So we are talking about the age of the church ending. And God says he hates the Neapolitans. And we're talking about your coming to a stage where you are above. Amazing. Can we reach to that stage? Can we understand where the Spirit of God must move in the church? Amen? And we only recognize our elders as people who God moves through. And we love them because God moves through them. We can always depend on them. Amen? Praise God. Can't you understand that, what we're talking about? The elders of the congregation are not some people whom somebody come and said, okay, I'm going to appoint you elder tonight now. Lay hands on you and prophesy over you that you're an elder. We were in a congregation like that and we had more trouble than anything else in the world. trouble, false doctrines, whatever else. Because people were prophesying people into apostleship and into eldership and into teachers and into evangelists. What we need is the Spirit of God putting his approval upon somebody in the middle of the congregation, and everybody have eyes to see and ears to hear. And so you see it. Nobody has to tell you. And Paul said, Peter and the rest of the brothers said, pick me out seven men among you who are filled with the Holy Ghost. And the people knew exactly who to pick out. Pick out seven men. And when they presented them before the apostles, none of them failed. They were mighty men of God. Stephen was the first martyr. He was one of these seven ministers that were picked out. But what we are really seeing tonight is a situation which is coming to pass in our very midst. That we are heading into a place where the church is going to be split wide open in two. And every soul here has to decide what side of the fence you belong. Right now, some of us are straddling the fence. You know what I mean? We're going to have to either take over the right foot or take over the left. But there will be no middle place there. For God says a fire will be lighted in the outer court. And the fire that I see being lighted out there is that the outer court Christianity is bending towards Rome. All the outer court Christianity is bending towards Rome. I've seen people in our midst who would never in past time consider Romanism as being saved. And I'm seeing them going and having communion now with the Roman church. You see, I'm talking about people who are supposed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that the position is getting clearer. That all those who will not listen to the Holy Ghost, they are getting another message. Don't you understand? God has set one ministry in the earth. I would like you to really say amen to that, or don't say anything at all if you don't believe it. God has set one ministry in the world, and this ministry is being rejected completely, out of hand, totally rejected by most of the church. Do you hear me? Now, once they reject the ministry that God has sent, they will begin to throw away the monthly magazines that come from those ministries. And the moment you throw away one, you start getting magazines from other ministries to lead you the way of destruction. Let me show you it in the scriptures. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And you remember the parable of the sower. That some seed fell by the wayside, the fowls of the ear got them, some fell among thorns, and so on and so forth. And the brethren called Jesus and said to him, "Now, Lord, tell us." Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Well, this parable we're dealing with is the one of wheat and tares. Verse 38, the field is what? The world. The field is not the church. Remember that. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want you to really look at this with me and hear what Jesus is saying. That the first thing that is going to happen in the judgment of God after he has dealt with the church is that people will begin to form organizations and gather together under different bundles. Reconciliation message. I see a young man destroyed by the reconciliation message. He was taught that whatever you do, no matter what you do, you're going to be saved, because even the devil will be saved. I've seen some men go into homosexuality because they feel that they have an urge and that they will be saved anyhow. I've seen men gone into sexuality because they will be saved anyhow. I have a friend who married 5 times. Minister of the gospel. We will be saved anyhow. You follow what I'm trying to say? This is what we're seeing all around us. This young man, he went into drugs. And still saying, he's all right, he'll be saved anyhow. In drugs. Shooting drugs. Taking speed. He'll be saved anyhow. Because God's mercy is great. Now, a lot of that is going on. And people are following it. I mean, normally, I would say, even if you use your own senses, it would be impossible a doctrine to follow. Because if that's the case, Jesus Christ didn't have to come at all. If everybody is going to be saved anyhow. If the devil is going to be saved anyhow, the whole thing is in vain. So, we see these bundles gathering. I've never seen so many bundles in all my life. Oh, I've never seen so many bundles in all my life. Everybody seems to be gathering into another little bundle, but when you check with the people, it's what they suit them. And everyone has some sins among them that they don't want to let go, so they join a bundle that will preach to them that is all right. But the people of God who are sanctified by the Spirit, who have a covenant of righteousness with Jesus Christ, who have got the garments of righteousness on ears with gold rings hanging onto it, they seek the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. Now let me tell you something else that is worse than that. There's a false Holy Ghost. There's a false Holy Ghost that a lot of the people are talking in tongues. They don't have the Holy Spirit that you have. A lot of them are getting messages from the Spirit, and it's not God. And they're right in the middle of the church manifesting. Sometimes they have the leadership. In a church that I was, I've seen the leadership of the church completely taken by the devil. And they are the ones that are leading the army. I see men murder in the church to cover up. Kill to cover up in the church. Are you understanding me? I'm saying that people are being gathered into bundles, and you are going to have to be careful of what bundle you are in. For the saints, if you check the scriptures, it did not say they were in bundles. So only the wicked ones were gathered in bundles. Look at this. Tied together with an artificial cord. It says, the Son of Man shall send the angels, they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Outside of his kingdom. Outside in the outer court. He's gathering them outside of his kingdom into bundles
and shall cast them into furnace of fire. They shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Have we not done great things in thy name, O Lord?
A lot of the miracles, they are just to catch people who are wanting to be in a bundle out there. Many of us feel we don't have anybody to fellowship with. We are only too few. We want more. We want the crowd. Watch out. You get bundled. And you get tied in a bundle. They have the discipleship bundles. They said, you must do, to be trained under God, I have to disciple you. No such word in the Bible, but they find it. They find it. Because if we make disciples of men, then we better make disciples unto God, unto Jesus Christ. Get your disciples and point them. I'm going to disciple you unto Christ. And everything I teach you is to lead you on to Christ. Good discipleship. That's a good discipleship. See? In other words, it's the only reason we preach against discipleship is because of the error. It's not that there is no discipleship. You understand? But it's who you disciple to that makes the trouble. Because if you are discipled unto Christ, then your elders can point you unto Christ. As the scriptures, if you notice, the scriptures spoke, always spoke about the disciples. And it was speaking of the disciples of Christ. Never Paul had a disciple. Never Peter had a disciple. The scripture speaks of the disciples. And in those days, the disciples were many. You remember that scripture? I'm quoting from the 6th or 7th chapter of Acts. When they got in the 7 ministries there, 7 elders. These people say 7 deacons. No such thing in your Bible. Never even mentioned in your Bible that there were 7 deacons. Nothing named deacon. As a matter of fact, in those days, there were nothing named deacons. In the Paul, in epistles, they refer to the word deacon. And that is, the translators make it up. The translators make up a word named bishop. They made up one named deacon. Nothing in the word named deacon. You doubt me?
No.
Simple, just take your interlinear. And you see, diaconon means minister, servant. Diaconon means servant. There is nothing named deacon. They call one diaconon, they call it deacon. They call the other word, the same word, minister. They call the same word servant. And they translate it, play it like a football up and down to suit themselves. We're talking about Neocolitanism, building up a hierarchy in the church. I am the ministry and you are the sheep. But blessed be to God Almighty. We're going to walk in the body of Christ. And when we walk in the body of Christ, there's only one head in the body of Christ. No big body. No other head in the body of Christ but Jesus Christ. And woe be unto you if I speak the word of Jesus Christ to you and you don't obey it. You get the funny feeling that you're obeying me. Eh? Well, let me tell you, any child that comes speak the word of God to you and you don't obey, you are in trouble. So then we should be seeking to hear God. And when we speak as the oracles of God. That's the great, that is the great point in the whole thing. That when your elders speak, and they speak in God, and they give advice that is in God, and they give a word that is in God, you begin to fear. Hallelujah. You begin to fear, not because you fear them, but the fear of God that is in them. When your wife begins to speak in God and you don't hear her, you're in trouble. You hear me? You're in trouble. You're not dealing with a woman, you're dealing with God. This is the reason why we need to, in the congregation, renew our covenant with Jesus Christ to make him head. I'm kind of getting to despise hearing people saying he is Lord. You know, it kind of hurts me to hear people singing, he's Lord, he's Lord. No, it's not true. The people don't even know how to make Jesus Lord. That's the truth. You know, when you talk about Lord, you're talking about your boss, your head, your guide, your number one. That's what you're talking about. And when you see the people behave and act and live, you know that they don't have a number one upstairs. And so I like to see people who really mean it, to sing it. He's Lord. He's risen up in my heart. He's Lord. You understand what I'm saying? The separation is at hand. We are in a time, a church time, a period of time, when we, the true people of God, are going to be really trampled upon. You hear me? I want you to notice what they do in Nebraska. Some Christians who... Listen, they judged those people as Christians and they trampled on them, and they were only out of court people. You know why they're not going after us? They don't even know we exist. We are hiding. You hear me? They have not yet met the hardcore of Jesus Christ. You understand? Because the people who really walk with God, who would be listening from God, the court case would go different from how it went with the man who they pick up and send to prison. Because this is the time when God is beginning to endue his people with power. And we are in power as much as we listen to God. In other words, you are in so much power, sister, that if God tell you run, run. You hear me? But let me explain this to you. Sometimes it's not God's will for you to stand up and fight. That sounds bad, eh, brother? But I tell you what. I was reading. You know, I was thinking of putting up some big fight. And I was reading. All of a sudden, God began to show me that when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, God told Joseph to run. You remember that? Run from Herod. Hide from Herod. In other words, God's not ready to kill Herod yet. Right? And because God's not ready yet, you get out of his way. Because he's going to come after you and put his own line on a life on the line, and God's going to have to kill Herod or let him kill you. Mm-hmm. If God's not ready for a battle, don't stand up. Run if God tells you to run. So God sent him to hide in Egypt. And when he hid in Egypt, remember, it's a young child, you know, and we are just coming up. We're not even born yet, as far as God's business is concerned. And when he hid in Egypt, God came to him one day and said, hey, Joe, get up and go. He said, you go back. Herod is dead. Herod was determined to get him. And when Herod died, God sent him back. So you can understand that God says that you are going to be protected in this system only through your obedience. If it's not your time yet to fight, don't think you can pick up a big stick and go to court, pardon me, or whatever, and win, because not your time yet. Just listen to God. And so God put an earring upon Rebecca's ear, and he's putting the earring on your ear too. You have to hear God. Last night we were talking about hearing God. And you can hear God easily. It's not a hard thing, but you have to be quiet. You can't be thinking of this. I wonder if it's him over there, if he's over there. And you have to be quiet and just quiet down and listen to your insides. You listen to your insides. And as I was saying to Brendan last night, if you said, I want to move this chair, I wonder if it's God wants me to move. Lord, tell me if you want to move the chair. And you sit down there and you imagine that you go to move the chair and you feel a little no inside. You know God is saying, don't move that chair. And it may be God's will to move the chair, but not now. You understand? So we do have an understanding of God, and we must know when God is saying, go, and when he said, don't go. Praise God. So this is the word that I have for you tonight. The outer court ministry, keep away from it. You are called to the holy place ministry. If you take your money and support the outer court ministry, God is going to make you have needs, and you will be a loser. You will not get the $100 you're looking for by giving 10. Am I plain enough? God is saying that these people have been guilty of wasting their substance in the wrong dimension, the wrong realm. God has called you to a special ministry. Support that ministry, and God will bless you. That's where you will get your blessing. Because if you support that ministry, you will be actually going without going. Amen. Praise God. I see God has given us recently ministries in India and in Jamaica to support. We are sending monthly monies to India and to Jamaica. They are depending on us. It's a life and death business. We are sure, not just a feeling, but a sure knowledge from God that this is what we ought to do. This is your responsibility also, because I think God has been feeding you through this ministry, and therefore where you get your feeding, that's where you live. And that the Lord is saying to you that the word that he's sending to you, you must stop mixing it. Do you know what we're talking about? You get a magazine in the mail and you read it and it bless you. That means it's all right. You get blessing from it. That's where you belong. Amen. But many of us are getting from here, from there, from everywhere, so you don't even know. You mix the word of God, you mix the message. I'm not saying you must listen to one person, but listen to those who bless you. Listen to those who lift your spirit up. Because some things glorify men and some glorify God. If a word of prophecy comes to you and you feel good about it because it tells you you are a great and nice person, look out. You see, he's feeding your ego. He's feeding the devil in you.
rather than feeding the God in you. This is what we're talking about. And before we close here tonight, I'd like some of you to express what's on your heart. Express feedback of what you hear tonight. Because I know for sure that one of the things God said to me this evening was about the ministry that the people belong to. They are not sure of where they belong. They seem to be, you know, back and forth. A lot of the people are supporting with their livelihood, with their money, they're supporting ministries that are not ordained of God. Not sent to the body of Christ. No, I am not business with those who are out here. I know they are well fed. Oh yeah, I know they are well fed. I have to feed this section. God, this is where God has called me. The people who are walking in the body of Christ ministry, the people who are feeding upon Christ and want more of Christ, the people who are offering up their souls to God, this is the people I'm involved with. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. And so, God bless you. And I want you to just get a few minutes to talk back to me and let me hear what the Lord is saying in your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes.
I've been listening to some tapes that my sister gave me from Oklahoma. I don't know how long she's had them.
Well, you know, when you get into the holy place, things like that don't really have any meaning. They don't matter. You know? I could talk to people for a whole day and somebody asked me what color clothes they had on. I didn't remember. You know? My wife and I go out to the store and she go one way and I go the other way. And after I've walked around all the little things that I'm looking for and say looking for her and I can't remember what clothes she had on. You know, what color clothes? Because there's a lot of people in the shopping center. You kind of have to look for the color clothes. And all of a sudden, you can't remember what color clothes. You say, wait, was it the brown dress? Or was it the, you know, just, you are so involved with something else, with the person, that you don't remember to look at them in the natural. And many of the things that we do in the outer court, like looking at people's dress, don't like how they look, don't like how they walk, don't like the tone of voice, and so on, so all that you forget when you're walking in a higher dimension with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen.
I just gotta say this too. When you meet somebody or even if you've known them for a few years or a lot of years, you don't know, sounds dumb to say, where they're coming from, but you don't know their environment or their background or how they're raised or what's bugging them is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If there's something there you don't like, you have to try to understand them.
Yeah.
Instead of judging.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I had been showing the brethren here, and maybe the last time I came here, how I went into a orange juice place to buy a gallon of fresh orange juice. And I always go in there and buy this juice. Now I went in there, and this woman just said, "I don't have any." You know, so I didn't hear what she said. So I asked her again, and she was so curt, and, "Don't you hear it?" You know what I mean, that sort of way. And I was upset, you know. And I felt like I should really talk to her about her attitude. And I kind of turned back to her, really annoyed. And when I look in her face, she was under such pain. The woman was suffering. I don't know what was her problem, but she was suffering. And I said, "Oh my God, just even forgive me of thinking of wanting to say something cross to her." You know, sometimes we don't think of other people
that the reason why someone would snap at you or hurt you is because they need help. And, you know, instead of giving help, you would slap them on top of it all. Yes, praise God. Amen. We have nothing to say? Yes.
I was shy, and now I know there is nothing.
Well, confession is good for the soul. All the selfish people, wave your hand. Well, praise God. Get some truthful people there. But selfishness is a quality of the altar court. And we cannot be selfish in the face of need and of the call of God on our lives to give of ourselves. Anybody felt a tiny little move? Praise God. Yeah, well, just start to think about that. You know, the movement of God in us. There is, God is doing something in us. But I think we are too complacent. And I think we need to begin to stir up the God in us. And if you don't move, when God say move, then the next time it will be just barely little move. You understand? In other words, if God give you tonight, when we were here standing up, God was saying many little things to many people. And somebody was saying, maybe it's my own mind, I better keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean? You should all, since at such an opportunity, get something to say. Then I can imagine what happens when I'm not here. It's all dead, eh? Mm-hmm. Or is it different? Because I'm here, you want me to talk. But you, brethren, should be able to express what God is bringing through you in the meetings. And if there's a word of prophecy, you come forth with it. God, I don't know of anybody who God give a whole long prophecy like this. I know He give you one line first, and sometimes you get two lines, and very, very rarely you get three lines. But when you speak the first line, the next one comes. This is how faith goes. You're going to have to learn to prophesy by faith and to walk by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Praise God. Yes.
Curious about on Moses or something.
Whatever you receive of God, you give it to the others. And this is why we should have communion together. And when God talk about among yourselves, He means the people who are of like mind. Amen. In other words, there are many Christians who I wouldn't have communion with. I mean, if they come in and have communion with me, okay, but I won't go to their communion because their communion might not be up to the standard that God wants communion. Communion is a covenant we are making, at least we are renewing our covenant one with another. When we break the bread, we are one bread and one body. If you're not the same bread and the same body, don't take it. See, this is what I'm saying. For instance, if you go into a Catholic church and take communion, you either don't understand what you are doing or you are a Catholic.
I did that a few months ago.
Yeah, you don't understand what you're doing.
No,
you see, you're going covenant with them, and they understand it. You know, they understand it because you hear what the priest said. He was giving communion to some charismatics, and he said, Now I'm going to give you communion. It's quite all right for you to take communion with me. He said, but if you take this bread, you are admitting, agreeing that the Pope is the head of the church. Okay? Which is what they are doing. They are taking a Catholic communion. I agree with you. I am one with you. I am one with you. We are one. That's what you're saying. Now, if you can't say I'm one with you, you can't take communion with them. But if they want to come and take our communion, praise God. Then we let them know before, if you take the communion, you are agreeing that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and that we are his body. Entirely different thing.
I'm not taking communion with people that are in the outer court and yet they profess to be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah, but you see, if they come to your group and take the communion, you can allow them to do it because you warned them before. Never give a communion unless you want it. You say, now, brethren, if you are not one with us, if you don't agree with us, if you are not part of us, don't take it. Everybody is free. And let him examine himself. And so take. Because if you take it the wrong way, you take it damnation unto yourself. Condemnation.
I had another word when we first started, but I'd already given one, so I was, and I didn't see how this fit, but it was, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way in there is perfect.
And thereof is death. Well, you see, we don't see. If it's for somebody, the person would pick up the tab. as you let it loose, you see. We will never see why, the why of a word or anything like that.